We thank you, our Father, for the gift of eternal life. For most of us, the very first portion of Scripture we learn is probably the most rested upon portion of Scripture, and we pray will be the last Scripture on our lips. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is our only hope in life and in the process of death. And we give you praise in your holy name. Amen. Last week we looked at the message that God's love extends to everyone. It goes to the four corners of the globe. It goes equally to all people. And in today's passage, our message on All Saints Day is that it not only goes to all people, it goes for all time. There is no expiration date on God's love. Sometimes we use examples. Sometimes I've used metaphors and examples, and they're good as far as they go, but sometimes they don't go far enough. Sometimes they can be misused. I'm going to try to clear up a couple, and then I'm going to offer another. At many funerals, this has become popular in the last 25 or 30 years, I guess, to use an analogy, and maybe it's been used at funerals you've attended. Maybe you've heard it before. But it's called the dash. Have you heard that example? You know, it's like, I have on one side of my dash, September 26, 1962. I have no idea what will be on the other side of the dash, but we all have this middle period, and we're supposed to focus on that. And I understand the point of that, but I think the message of Scripture would tell me to caution you that when you hear those stories or examples like that, don't equate that what is important about you is your dash. That's not what's important about you. It's not those accomplishments. It's not those things that I did while on earth. It's the fact that when I step away from this, all that, as 1 John says, is going to be left as perishable. And I'm going to put on imperishability. See, it's not all those things I grabbed in the middle, for they will rust and they will fade away. It's that which I step into on the other side of my dash. And the comfort that we have, even though we have great memories of those that we love and how they lived their dash, our great hope today is not that they were a great dash maker. Our great hope is that they were believers in Jesus Christ. And as John says, they were called children of God, sons of God, because that's who they are. That's who they are. The other, which I've heard this several times in 34 years of pastoring, whenever someone, and I heard it again this year, at least one, whenever someone hears that we're having an All Saints Day, sometimes the crusty old soul might respond, knowing one of the people that will be listed, lift it up. Don't you mean old sinners or All Sinners Day? Because the truth of the matter is, every name we mentioned had some points about them not very faintly. Now, I don't mean to be offensive, but I just mean to be biblical, for we confess that none of us are without sin. We all are with sin. The only one that wasn't is our hope of the day, and that's Jesus Christ. So we could equally say this is All Sinners Day as All Saints Day. And that is our hope again. Because our hope is not that we live in such a saintly, meritorious way that we earned our place. But rather, we are His children. Parents have a sort of a step up when it comes to understanding God. I mean, I know that's a bold statement, but any parent that has ever had children misbehave, any parent that has ever had a child go astray, any parent that has ever had a child act unlovable, and in the midst of that, the parent continues to show love. In the midst of that, the parent continues to demonstrate that the child's place in the family is not dependent upon their obedience, but upon the good and godly love of the parent. Our hope, brothers and sisters, as we stand at graves, others or our own, is that our well-being in this life and in the next is that we have been, as John says again, transformed. The Greek word here is we are morphed, not through our work, but through the declarative work and grace of God Almighty. We will see Him one day, and when we see Him, His glory will be such that we will perfectly reflect that. But now we live in a day where it's imperfect. I want to add another quote as I briefly try to honor our time here. And that's the two children's activities that I reflect upon often. One of which I a great deal like, and the other I don't like at all. In fact, I wish they would disband it, but I doubt I'll have any say-so in that. But one is swimming in a pool. I love to swim. I would love to own a pool. I just love swimming in a pool. And I love the joy when children are in a pool. The other that I don't find as much joy in are Easter egg hunts. You've probably never had a pastor tell you, it probably doesn't even sound spiritual to say that I don't like Easter egg hunts. And the reason I don't like Easter egg hunts is I've had to deal with too many children in the past, either at family events or in churches, where they set off and somehow they're just not as adept as the other children. Do you know the ones I'm talking about? There are some children that know exactly. They run and they're strong and they're bold and they find all the Easter eggs, only to bring them back to brag in front of all the other children that somehow stumbled through the search. Somehow they didn't find as many eggs. Somehow they either weren't observant enough, or maybe they got too easily distracted, or maybe they couldn't run as fast. And I've often thought that sometimes, all too often, we look at the Christian life like it's an Easter egg hunt. And we go forth and we're to just collect as much as we can, and whoever gets the most in their basket wins. Going back to swimming. One of the things I like about swimming is, you know, that all the kids that get in the pool get equally wet. Everybody gets wet. And that's the way it is with the love of God. We get eternally drenched with His goodness and love. And that's why we say at most funerals, as they were clothed in that precious name of Christ Jesus and His righteousness in baptism, so now they are perfectly clothed, fully drenched, completely soaking wet with His love, now as they've been clothed in that in death. William Penn, that great believer, somewhat a Quaker and the founder of Pennsylvania, he wrote this in one of his journals. Those who love beyond this world are never separated. Death cannot kill what never dies. Death cannot kill what never dies. the Jamaicans have another way of saying this. It's not as grammatically correct, but it's equally true. The Jamaicans have part of their folk wisdom that which is mine can never be unmine. That which is mine can never be unmine. Brothers and sisters, our loved ones still live. Those that you claimed and loved, you say now that those who were mine can never be unmine. And most importantly, God Almighty says to these who have departed, those who are mine can never be unmine. Let me close with using my favorite non-biblical quote about death. And if you've gone to any of my funerals, you've heard me say it, you're going to hear me say it again. That great Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon said that life goes full circle. When we are born, we're crying. And everyone around us is smiling. Because new life has come. And when we die, everyone around us are crying. But we're smiling. Because new life. Eternal life in a way that we never are able to experience here. As we see Him face to face. And we hear Him say, what is mine can never be unmine. Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith together, using the words of the Apostles' Creed, as we confess together, brothers and sisters. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Praise.
And join me in Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
Lift up the heart of the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Creating and redeeming God in Abraham and in Adam, Abraham and Moses, in Deborah, Esther, and Aaron. You've chosen not simply to direct the course of events, but to be in relationship with us and to entrust your shoulders for the embodiment and exercise of your will. In the dying and rising Christ, you gave not just a Savior, but an example. And in every generation, you call people to imitate the pattern of His life and death, and so witness to your glory. You call us to be not heroes who go alone, but saints whose every breath depends on others and on you. We rejoice that those saints take their place in the company of heaven. With me, we join in singing the unending hymn of your joy and praise.
Holy, 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 Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Transforming God, in this gathering, you take the fruit of the vine and human hand and make them a blessing for your people now and forever. As our earthly bodies decay and die, and resemble your Son's body taken down from the cross, send your Spirit and remake us into the image of your Son's resurrected body, that our scars may be signs of your glory, and our hearts may be one with yours. Sanctify this bread and this cup,
that they may be for us the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Taste, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you gather together, eat and drink the very body and blood of our resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ is died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again."
Resurrecting God, bless those who mourn, that they may be comforted. Bless the poor in spirit, that they may inherit the kingdom of heaven. Bless the pure in heart, that they may see you. Visit those who face death amid persecution and violence, that they may know the gladness and rejoicing of your kingdom. Be close to any who end their days in agony and isolation, that they may enter the joy of their reward. Where your children feel all is lost, meet them in their fear. Catch them in their loneliness and raise them by your mercy. So that on the last day, when you bring a new heaven and a new earth, that they may discover you as an infinite circle, whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere, and be changed from glory into glory, which embodies one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gift of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus instituted this, the Lord's table, he did it understanding the eternal nature. For as we gather together here as one, we are in truly eternal state. This gift of himself at the table transcends time. For at the same time, in the remembrance of him, we look back and remember that perfect and final gift he gave for us on Calvary, as he gave his life so that we could live. But we also look forward to that final marriage supper of the Lamb, where again with him and all the saints that have gone on before, we will partake again in that eternal supper, where we will again feast on our Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ. Here in the middle time, in the walking, the traversing on this globe, he said, "I'll be there with you. I'll prepare a table for you in the midst of all enemies. And in the midst of all that, you will taste and see that I am good." So as a minister of the gospel, I invite you to the Lord's table, all of you who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with sincerity and truth, to partake together of the very body of Christ, the bread of heaven. After supper, he took the cup, understanding that until the Passover meal was eaten, until the blood was applied, there was no remission of sin. It was not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of our dear Savior, shed for us, that we receive eternal forgiveness, health for our bodies. Take this, the cup of salvation, drink it to the salvation of your souls. We thank you, our Father, for the gift of your dear Son. We receive him not because we are worthy, but because you speak the word and we are healed. And being healed, you cover us. We thank you for the oneness that we find in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the covering of your precious blood upon us all. It is our hope. It is our strength. It is the source of our life, both now and forevermore. And all God's people say, Amen.
Dignity, beauty, and its meaning. And may we all see that it's only through Jesus Christ our Lord that it is well. But in Christ Jesus, it is well. It is well. Amen.
And I response, it is well with my soul. Amen. Thank you.